that I am, Lord, I am hope to be. I will give all to thee. To whom? God be the glory. Can we say to God be the glory? Amen. Even in our office, if God blesses you, it's not you. It's to God be the glory. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. We thank God once again for blessing and allowing us to travel to Atlanta, to Raleigh, to Savannah, to travel the whole East Coast almost, and back safely. Amen. Never to take it for granted. We saw accidents. We saw cars flipped over on their hoods. And, you know, God is good. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. We take nothing for granted. We thank God and bless my wife. She was able to go. Amen. She's comfortable. We just bless the Lord for that. How many are glad that God is good? How many have a testimony? I know we can all testify this morning. But how many of us know from the depth of our soul we can honestly say, God is good? If you know God is good, stand up and give God a praise. But if you know God is good, give God a praise. But it's nothing like being in church and being along with God in church. That's when you have a special touch. And that's when God can speak to you privately. Amen. You know, I just want to mention this before I introduce our speaker. We were in Georgia, and one of the seminar speakers said he woke up on Tuesday morning and his leg was so sore he couldn't even walk. He had to get a walker to get around. And he said to himself, he said, Lord, how am I going to get? How am I going to stand and do a seminar on Friday and I can't walk on Tuesday? Amen. But then he said he remembered there was a time when he was sick. And he was, well, not sick, but he had such bad pain and rheumatoid arthritis. He said he moaned and groaned. But then he said this Psalm 34, verse 1. He said, I will bless the Lord, yes, Lord, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, as he began to say that psalm over and over, the pain left his head. The pain left because he was going to praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. That means not something we ought to have a praise. He said on Friday he got up, he was walking around like nothing happened. He said, you know what? He said, I got a hold of that scripture. He said, now I used to talk to you, and now I live the scripture. So if I can encourage us to do anything today, don't talk the scripture. It's time to do what? The word of God. Can we say hallelujah? His praise shall continue. Even when things aren't good, his praise shall continually be in my lips. Amen. So at this time, let us all stand. Hallelujah. Amen. How many want God's anointing here? Listen, all of the anointing can destroy the yoke. All of the anointing can set the captive free. Only the anointing can heal a broken heart.
Verses. I got to get a little help here.
37 and 38. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let's go. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And the church said,
word of the Lord.
Blessed already. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And I don't want to cut things short far as I want to just say this, give honor to our pastor and assistant pastor, because as I often remind all of you, and I rub it in your face sometimes, I am the first member of this church. So nobody can take that away. So I was here at the beginning when all of you were somewhere else. Who's the first member? This guy. Alright? But I want to talk about what they did in the beginning. Because what you don't know is we had four full members in the beginning. And we were going up and down roads and you know, looking for what God's will was. And, you know, then it began to unfold that we were going to start a church. But in the middle of starting a church, I was happy because I looked and I said, we got a pastor, we got a minister, I'm a brother, we good. And then the minister said, I'm moving. Then, I'll admit this now, but I didn't at the time, this old boy cried like a baby. I cried. Because I said, Lord, who's going to help our pastor? Who's going to be the minister? I couldn't see all of you what God was going to do and how he was going to send all of these ministers and elders and deacons. I couldn't see it. I couldn't even see that someone had already said that I would be a minister. I couldn't even see it. I just didn't believe it. But I thank God for them because they had to nurture a whole bunch of neophytes, a whole bunch of beginners, and we made a lot of mistakes, but I thank God because victory belongs to him. Hallelujah. Victory belongs to Jesus. It's what he did and not what someone did. It's what he did through people. So if you don't mind turning with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. And while you turn into the 5th chapter, did you hear what the scripture said? It said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Did you hear what it said? It said, press down. Think of a basket. Give. With the same measure that you give, it's going to be given to you. But think of a basket. Now it's going to be given to you. So now there's room in the basket now. Okay, now we're full of putting back in the basket, but now it's shaken together. So the material drops. But now, if that's not enough, it's gonna end up running over. So then it's pressed down. And so it's like someone stuffing a whole bunch of stuff in a bag. And now it's beginning to run over and it says, now here, that's for you. That's a promise. Hallelujah, that's a promise. God is good, so when you give, it shall be given unto you. You've got to trust. We don't have to like everything about the word, but we just got to accept it and believe it. That one's easy to believe. Hallelujah. Matthew, the 5th chapter. My fingers are slow. One of these days, I'm going to get one of those fancy gadgets and just go there right away, but I don't trust it yet. Verse 41. The Bible says, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go with him two. So my message today is, go the extra mile. The extra mile. As our pastor always reminds us, when Jesus dealt
with the people of that time in that area. He dealt with them on their situation. And whether you choose to believe it or not, the Jews always had a problem with giving. And this situation, he always talked about giving when it came to them, because it struck a chord with them constantly. So after prayer and praise, giving is always what he talked about, because he said, if I can't get you to give, then you won't do either. You know, so he's always dealing with them on the thing that, and that's true for you and me. The thing that we struggle the most with, we have to get victory through Jesus. If the test to keep coming and keep coming until we get victory over it. But what you didn't know is, this is part of Roman rule of the day. The Romans could, at the soldiers' discretion, could walk with their ear, point to a servant, a person in the street, and say, you, my bags, 1 mile. Carry my bags, 1 mile. They couldn't go beyond 1 mile according to Roman rule. So they knew that they despised, they had secret dealings with the Romans, but they despised the fact that they actually had rule over them. So this was a thing that, oh, we shouldn't have to carry their bags and everything. But he said, if they tell you to because of the situation, go with them an extra mile. It's not a big deal. Go and give liberally. Now that's to an enemy. Hallelujah. Turn with me if you don't mind. The thing about, before we turn there, the thing about salvation, it is a point A to point B. Salvation, when we first get saved, that's easy to see. That's when we first, our spiritual birth, that's point A. Point B is at the end when he calls you and me by name and we get caught up to meet him in the cloud, as the Bible says. That's point B for us. It's not over them, but that's point B for us. No one is able to get from point A to point B without some sketchiness in their situation. So the line may be straight. If you're on a straight and narrow, that's great, but it's humanly impossible to get to be 100% right 100% of the time. We are going to make some mistakes. The line is going to be sketchy. And if you're like me, I believe my sketchiness looks like a polygraph test. It looks all over the place. There's no straight line anymore. I can't even tell where it started sometimes. But nevertheless, the line to God is A and B, and I have to get to B somehow. I've got to make this journey. Please turn with me to Revelation, the 20th chapter. And the thing about this walk in God, we have to learn how to be better teammates one for another. What I mean is, one coach said, you have to learn how to say, when it's going good, we did. We did this, we did that. Because of our support, we did all of this. And when things go bad, you have to learn to say, I messed up, and what could I have done better to make this happen? And that's a true, and when you have the team first, that's the attitude that we all have to take. We have to take that attitude. I gotta do something. When one soul walks away from God, we all have to share some responsibility in it. Did I say something the wrong way? Did I run that brother down? Did I come against them in some way and I don't even know what I did? Or did I lift him up in prayer? Did I do this? Did I support his needs if he had a need or whatever? Did I do what I was supposed to do? You know, when someone, especially not just leaving and going to another church, but what we're talking about, walking away from God. Yes. In this hour, we're living in some dangerous times. And I believe the church is headed to be blindsided. Revelation 20, verse number 6. Now we're talking about point B, verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests, and priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Understand what that's saying. It's saying, blessed and holy are they. Who are they? The church. They that go up in the first. So if they say first, if he says first, there's at least two, right? So when you go in the first resurrection, you're caught up. You can call it rapture or whatever you want to call it, but the Bible says resurrection. If you're caught up, everything stops from you then. The second death, which is the lake of fire, right? Am I right? Correct me if I'm wrong. The lake of fire is the second death, but it has no power over you. That's enough to make somebody get happy right there. Do you understand? All we have to do is hear him say, come my people. Once we go through that change, it is done for us. We have no more worries on what's going to happen. Understand how blessed you are. Do you see how blessed you are? Once we get to that point, all of our sickness, all of our worries are over. They're finished with. Now we just live with Jesus. We'll have bodies like angels. We'll be flying in, flying out. We'll eat if we want to. We'll go through doors if we want to. The Bible talks about we will be a nursing mother and a nursing father to the children of Israel who will not be raptured up. All right? So keep that in mind. They will not be raptured up. So we will be in there. And not only them, but after tribulation, there are actually going to be people that did not receive the mark. Not a lot, but there will be people here. Now we have a beautiful opportunity because now there's no death, no sickness in the kingdom. After he pours out his wrath and God rebuilds Jerusalem and he sets up his kingdom, there will be no sickness. Nobody dies in the kingdom. So the earth starts to repopulate and the nation of Israel starts to grow and things start to happen. But God needs us to be priests, right? We're going to teach the word of God, the true word of God, without any guile in it or any trickery in it. God has it so that we're going to help him reign. Do you see how blessed you are? Hallelujah. Now I know that, you know, there's a lot of things taught out there, but the corporation is picking up steam in these last days, and I'm afraid the church is looking in all the wrong directions. But the 666 Corporation is growing right beneath our noses, and we don't realize it. What is 666? Well, it's the most holy number in the Kabbalah, if you know anything about the Kabbalah. But the problem is the church knows nothing. Those that know very little. But if you Google Kabbalah synagogues near me, you'll see all of them teach the Kabbalah and the Talmud. And I know that the church believes they're sitting in there teaching about God. But there's the Kabbalah and the Talmud, and you can't, that's a fact. So you can look that up yourself. But where did that come from? If you remember, and for, I didn't give them the scripture, but 1 Kings chapter 10, it talks about Solomon's throne and how he laid his throne out. Imagery is everything in these last days. Imagery is everything. So God, the devil has imagery going on, and the image of 666 is before us all the time in corporations, in everything, a lot of products and different things. But where did it originate? The Kabbalah. Who helped originate for the first time? It was Solomon. His throne was set up, 6 steps, 6 statues of lions here, 6 statues of lions here. When you looked at him, you saw 666. This image is in a lot of things that we don't know, we don't pay attention to. But I'm here to tell you, 6 triangles, 6 sides, yes. 6 points, 666. What has 6 signs? 6 sides, right? 6 sides, 6 triangles, 6 points. You do your own research. I'll let you decide. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Ephesians. I wanted to give a little bit of hidden in plain sight knowledge. Hidden in plain sight knowledge. Ephesians, the second chapter. Now, some may have trouble hearing that, but I'm going to do what God told me to do. I didn't see where Jeremiah had to check and see if it was all right to talk about the Bible and what God said. Because the Bible said in Jeremiah, the day will come when I, the Lord, will punish the circumcised with the uncircumcised. That will happen. He will pour out his wrath. Ephesians, the second chapter. And if we just paid attention to the scripture, when Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And we think the Pharisees' doctrine died. It didn't die when Jesus was here. So how did it die without him being in the flesh here? It's still prevalent today, but we think it's something else. It's still out there, and it's in the church. Hallelujah. Second chapter of Ephesians, and let's read the fourth. Fourth verse, 4-6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, hallelujah, and have raised us together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. Do you understand what the word is saying? But I don't know about you, but I could have stopped that, but God. I could have stopped that, but God. Because I could have lost my mind, but God. See, when you have a traumatic situation, as Sister Jasmine and Brother Simon had, you could lose your mind over that, but God. Hallelujah. You know, you could have been strung out on drugs, but God. You see, I used to try the little funny cigarettes, right? But they say that's the gateway. I could have been strung out on drugs and lost my mind. But God, that car accident that you had, you could have died or been paralyzed. But God, do you understand how good God, can I go the extra mile? Do you understand that I'm trying to get you, see, we're thinking about money, but it ain't money. It's, can I do for God? He's done this for me. He done all that for me. It ain't about money. You can have the money. Throw the money away. But whatever you want me to do, understand that I would have lost my life. I could have died in the hospital room, but God. Hallelujah. Understand, and we have a lot of but God moments out there. How do you go from ICU to calling your Uber ride? I never seen such a thing. Do you understand that? That's the testimony I heard right here. Get my ride. I'm ready to leave. ICU? You walking out from ICU? What are you talking about? No one walks out. We kind of slowly take you to the next step and then, no, get me a ride. If I gotta wait, you might as well get me a sandwich. I'm gonna enjoy the football game while I wait. In the ICU, are you crazy? But God, if it had not been for the Lord that was on your side and was on my side, I know what the enemy would have done. I know I would have been swallowed up a long time ago. I would have lost it a long time. There's a lot of people depressed out there, and they go on these drugs, and they get worse and worse and worse, and then they're unrecognizable years later. You meet them, and years later, they're unrecognizable because God has blessed you to have your right mind. Hallelujah. You could have been homeless. Think about this. In the street. But God, we could have stopped right there. Hallelujah. But I don't know about you, but I got some questions for you. And believe it or not, I'm about to close, but I got some questions for you. And I don't care if you answer no. If you want to, that's fine. But I need you to have some energy in this thing, and I need to know, because I'm nosy like that, and I need to know, can God save you? I need you to answer yes, yes. Can God save you? Can God keep you? Can God deliver you? Can He heal your body? Can you have joy? Can you have peace? Can you be set free? Does He love you? Hallelujah. Does He care for you? Does He know you? Does He know your name? Hallelujah. My God is a good God. Can you walk the extra mile for Him? Hallelujah. It's not a problem, you see, because God has been so good to me and given me so much. I don't need to complain about what I don't have. He's been all in all to me. I enjoyed the song yesterday. The song the writer said that, what is the song? We shall behold Him. Get a little excited. You know, the Bible says, the sky shall unfold. Think about that. The sky shall unfold, preparing His entrance. Think about that. The stars shall applaud Him with thunders of praise. Hallelujah. Then the light that is in His eyes shall enhance all those awaiting. Thank you, evangelist. We shall behold Him. Think about that. One of these days, one of these good old mornings, He's going to say, come my people. And the Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Do you know what a twinkle is? It's not a full blink. It's a half blink. That's all it is. And then you're going to step from this whole place to a whole other realm. You're going to say hallelujah on one side, hallelujah on the other side. It's a great day of the Lord for you and me. We escape that wrath. We'll be up in the cloud to meet Him where He is, and He calls up by His name. God is a good God. He's provided. As the pastor said last week, I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that He prepared for you. Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know? Do you really know? Because if you really knew, you'd go the extra mile. If you really knew, you'd lift your brothers and sisters up. If you really knew, you wouldn't gossip so much. If you really knew, you'd come to church. If you really knew, you'd lift somebody up. Say hallelujah. The sky is gone. He's gonna crack that sky. And he's coming back for a bride. Hallelujah. And then the real fun begins for us. Hold on. Go that extra mile. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, go that extra mile. Go that extra mile. And then, hey, we ain't talking about money today. Even though that's part of it, don't escape that. But go the extra mile. He wanted me to go one, I'll go two. I'm not going to shortchange him on things. God is good. He's done so much. The song said he's done so much for me, I just can't tell it all. I can't tell it all. Many times we get so self-centered with a problem, and I mean that in the truest sense of the word, and all we can see is ourselves failing. And all we can see is ourselves alone. And we're not alone. We're not alone. The Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I got news for you. There's still a friend for the friendless. There's still a friend for the friendless. God cares for you. He loves you. And he has great things prepared for you. That was terrible. Hallelujah.